When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
This is Stephanie. Timothy is away at an appointment, so I will be the sole concert mistress today. And the first song that I'm going to play for you is called Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Traditional hymns, In the Garden.
Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Jeff Funk, in which he discusses his book a bit more and shares a few more touching stories of chaplaincy. Enjoy.
So how important do you think listening is in the chaplaincy?
You know, that's huge. Everybody has a story to tell, and they really want to be heard. If you're not willing to listen and hear their story, they will often turn you off real quickly. If you're there and it's about my message and my what I'm going to do for you and all, yeah, they're just kind of, okay, I'll go through the motions here. But if you will pause to, tell me more and listen to them, you know, really listen with understanding to their story, they really respond to that. They will share with you. Also, I don't know how to help them until they tell me their story.
Right.
Because it's their story that I gain insights into, okay, here's where they're really hurting. I had one lady, I went to go visit her, and my assumption was it was going to be all about her life-threatening illness that she had. And I showed up, and if I had, I must admit, I had a pre-prepared agenda. Here's what this lady needs to hear to encourage her and help her persevere. And I was all ready to just jump in with that. But I said, okay, listen to her. It was her family. Her big issue was her family. There were some struggles going on in her family. It wasn't about her and her illness. It was about her kids and her husband. And so, threw my agenda out the window and said, okay, this is where we're going to camp. But that's because I took time to let her tell me, hey, what's really going on?
Do you ever find that it's difficult in the hospital to get people to start talking?
Yeah, because they don't know me, first off. So
right.
You do need to establish a rapport. You know, there are times when that's a real struggle initially. For example, I had one guy, Jewish background, and as soon as he heard I was the chaplain and figured I was Protestant, threw me out of the room. Did not want to hear anything I had to say. And then the guy had some serious medical stuff going on. And I bumped into his wife in the lobby, who saw my chaplain badge. And she goes, oh, I need you to talk with my husband. And I go, so who's he? And she told me the name. And I went, not going there. He kicked me out of the room. She said, what? So good Jewish mama, she went and talked to her hubby, and I got a request to come visit him. And then he realized I was there to hear his story, not to jump on him about how, you know, Yeshua, Messiah, all that stuff. I just wanted to hear his story and to be there for him. And we actually became friends. Yeah, it was a special relationship that I
That's neat.
Had with him. And so there's sometimes, it could start off pretty rocky. There's other folks that they, when you sit down, give them eye contact, get at their eye level, and really focus on, I want to hear your story. You know, how's the battle? I know it's not easy. Tell me, you know, what's the hardest part for you? What's going on? And they just, boom, okay, this guy, I get it. He wants to listen. I'm going to open up to him, even though I don't know him. You know, I mean, there's times when, that's like anything. You don't connect with everybody. But I've found that when you want to listen to their story, people open up and they share.
Is there anything that you wish you would have said in the book that you didn't say?
for me personally, I think that first chapter on love and compassion probably needs to be totally rewritten. Even though it's foundational, I still think I'm maybe didn't say it as well as it could be said. So again, that's the nitpicky part of me.
I think it was great.
But the basic, I mean, you can just keep adding more and more different elements and things for example, medical ethics and on and on and on of all the different aspects of caring for people and dealing with their issues. But
are you planning to write any more?
No, I'm not. For me, that was the basics. And I think it was good enough in those basics. And see, and the other part of that, for me, that was just the basics. And then I think each, for example, with the churches that are using it, then you just take that as the reference and you teach that however you want to teach it. And you emphasize the things that are important to you and how you want it done. And I think that's how it should be. They can personalize it for their ministry. And this is just the basics. And that's that. I mean, obviously, you could write a book on each of those chapters. And that wasn't my intention, was to get all detailed. And
well, everybody, it's really great for your church or you personally if you have someone to visit, maybe a family member, maybe you're leading a grief group, whatever. It's coming alongside Jeffrey R. Funk. It's a great book. I've read it. And so I just recommend that to anybody that wants a good book on chaplaincy. I just wanted to ask you one last question, Jeff. This is a little bit different. Now, since I can't see a lot of the things that you have mentioned, like fear and so forth, I can relate to because people have these innate fears and so forth. But I was always wondering how you saw the chaplaincy and special needs. Because the chaplaincy, to me, is all about special needs.
One of my things that I think because I was a chaplain, and a lot of folks see as a chaplain as neutral religiously, obviously I had a Protestant background, but when I meet with folks and share with folks as a chaplain, I'm not grinding my particular theological axe to get my point across. It's to come alongside them wherever they are and whatever their needs are. And so I get invited to these special needs situations to share from a spiritual perspective. How do you cope with? And to give you some examples, I had a post-polio group. These were all people who had polio, and some were having recurrence and other issues related to it, and this was a support group. And I would, about once a quarter, get invited to have them talk about how that was impacting their spiritual journey, their struggles with the immobilities and things like that with polio. Another was brain trauma victims, and they're mostly their families, so they had a support group, and I would get invited in to again stimulate conversations about, you know, what's this doing to your spiritual journey, you know. And a lot of them are angry at God because how could he let something like this happen to their kid, and you know, whether it was medically like a tumor or whether it was an accident. That kind of thing. So that was a challenging thing for me because it is difficult. But they would listen to me and respond to me because I had a kid who had medical problems and ultimately, you know, died from those complications. So it was interesting how you'd get an audience. Okay, we'll let you come talk to us because you're a fellow struggler. But one of my neat ones was a breast cancer support group. Now talk about an odd one. I'm the male chaplain with all these ladies with breast cancer, and I totally felt out of place with that. But they, bless your heart, one of these ladies says, but you're the chaplain. Who else can we turn to? So I thought, okay. See, they didn't see it as odd like I did. But I did have the social worker who led this group and just invited me in again about once a quarter. First time I met with this group, she said, wow, this is a group that's been meeting for a while. She goes, this was the deepest sharing they've ever done.
Wow.
Because you were here. And you just turned them, you know, you didn't preach at them. You just turned them loose on share. And I was willing to hear. And she goes, wow, did they open up. And talk about struggles that had been tucked away, you know, you hide some of those deep things in a group. And she goes, nope, they opened up. So those were some of those. See, I see those as, you know, special needs when you have a chronic illness. And so there were groups like that. I had people with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That was a support group I got into as well. And then some, you know, we used the word disabilities in the specific sense of mobility. They were confined to wheelchairs and things.
Uh-huh.
And so that was another group I got to share with about their challenges and how they were coping and what that did to their relationship with God. Never a blind group, though. that was not one of the special needs I ever had the privilege of talking with.
We can go ahead and wrap it up now.
Okay.
Well, thank
we can
you
do
very
that.
Much, Jeff, for coming on. And
my privilege.
My final song for today is a beautiful one. It's called Open Our Eyes, Lord. Thank you.
hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.